This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us here today. Tommy Curran joins the show here in about 6-7 minutes. From NBC Sports Boston, we'll get his take on all the things going on in that locker room and on the field as well with the New England Patriots. But real quick, I wanted to play this for you. This was Alex Van Pelt today when asked about Drake May's development. And this struck me because in a time where there's not much to really celebrate, the Drake May train seems to be going right on schedule. And it seems like Alex Van Pelt is eager to shift the narrative towards that. Let's listen to Van Pelt from earlier today.
Alex, what have you seen from Drake, you know, from start one to start two? What kind of things did you see him improve on, what continue to need to work on, and how much is the development of him go hand-to-hand with those guys that are saying they're open, finally getting them the ball?
Yeah. Again, that's every receiver, they're going to say, and I appreciate that and their remarks. But his development is where we need to be right now. I think he saw the field extremely well last week. He knew exactly what the defense was giving him. And when they tried to disguise, took advantage of some throws down the field in those situations. So his development, I'm really happy with what he's done from week to week. Again, and that's from the start of the season through watching his practice reps. I'm happy there. We just got to continue to grow as a group.
Okay, well, everyone's happy. Everything seems to be going exactly as planned. The development is right where it needs to be, as in I waited the exact perfect amount of time before we put him in there and made him the starter. What do you make of that, Andy?
I think he is talking to his bosses. I think he is talking to people like you.
When I talk to the media, I'm really talking to the Crafts.
Absolutely.
And to Arcand and Hart and the WWE.
Absolutely, yeah, right. People like you that said, and me, I'm not avoiding it. I did say this year was about May, and if you get to January and say, we have a quarterback, you've accomplished something.
Mm-hmm.
Almost regardless of all the other fire.
Absolutely.
Dumpster fire that's going on around you. And maybe he believes it, first of all. I guess we could take it very matter-of-factly. He believes it. But I also think he is pointing out that that is the most important thing. That's my job, by the way. You remember when Gerard said one voice, there's going to be one voice with Drake May and somebody's going to develop him.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. And he might even hear whispers. I don't know how much. Based on everything that's going on, I'm just going to assume all these people that are tied to the Patriots hear and read everything because they seem to interact with everything.
They don't seem to miss much.
No.
Right? They don't seem to miss too many comments or too many things. Yes.
I'll include him in that pile then and say he knows that there's been talk of firing him, replacing him, sacrificing him, but there's also been talk of, well, he's developing the quarterback, so let's just keep him around to develop the quarterback in the future. We'll bring somebody else in to call plays. And he's like, well, I'll lean into that a little bit if I continue to collect my salary, right? So I think it was self-serving, but I also think there's truth to it.
There is, and I brought this up pretty early when I said, right after the second game, everything's coming down on Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt and everything else, and it's fair to say, hey, wait a minute. What's this season all about again? Did we lose the plot here on this? Did we lose the plot on what everyone's expectations were and what everyone was supposed to be focusing on and what's actually important about this season of Patriots football? I think that's true. I think there's something to that. I think that this roster and everything was built in the spirit of that. You think that this team's trying to lose on purpose. I mean, come on.
Ish.
Like, right? Like, that's not something that you do and then you turn around and say, hey, coach, how come you're not out there winning these games? Like, that's not fair. It's got to be one thing or the other. And if you're saying it's the other thing, then yeah, these guys are failing. But if it's really just about bringing along Drake May, so far Drake May looks like he's coming along just fine.
All right, so you're forcing me to look at my own takes on the coaches, and that's fair. I thought Alex Van Pelt was a train wreck hire. Hasn't been a train wreck hire. I have criticisms. Hell, he's called himself out along the way. He even called himself out today about the first Jets game where he put Jacoby Brissett in bad situations.
Right.
But he hasn't been a train wreck. I liked the Gerard Mayo hire. I said, it's great that Robert had conviction in his thought and wanted to hire him. He's got a track record.
Train wreck city.
Train wreck city. So if we're going to compare expectations to performances, Alex Van Pelt's done a much better job, correct?
Yes, although I wouldn't say that this offense has been, from bringing along Drake May, sure.
That's half the job.
But that's, all right, if that's half of his job, he's done that half pretty well. The other half's train wreck city, I'd say, too.
Train wreck seems strong.
Is he calling great offense? Is he calling great plays
Not
out there?
Not great, but I don't know about train wreck. I would say, that might be a D, and if you average out the 50% A and the 50% D, he's got a nice B minus that he's doing.
And it's sort of hard to tell when Brissett's out there as your quarterback. I mean, I'd say that. The offense
and he won a
has
game
better
him.
In the last 2 weeks. I'll give
he
you
won
that,
a game
sure.
with him.
Yeah.
What has Gerard Mayo done well?
Tommy
Curran.
Yeah, let's go to Tommy Curran right now. He's brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Talking, of course, about the great Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston, who joins us right now. Hello, Tommy. How are you today?
Christian, how are you? I'm tremendous. How are you? Hi, Drew.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing fine over here. It's been a very tumultuous week over there in Foxborough. A lot of things being said about a lot of different people. Let's start with Gerard Mayo and the idea that after a very short amount of time, small sample size here, even for the NFL, where they only play one game a week, it seems as though things are starting to sour there, not just from the locker room where we can see and hear what all these players are saying, but perhaps from over his head. It seems as though maybe the people who were so proud of the decision to hire him and to bring him in 5 years ago, maybe reconsidering what they've done. Is that something you feel comfortable commenting on here at this point in the season on October 24th?
Sure, I'll comment on it. Why do you have the idea that ownership doesn't want him as the head coach? Because I guess that's what you're driving at.
Yeah, I think that there's been not really reports, but rumors out there. You heard Florio recently talking about how he thinks that Mayo's going to talk himself right out of the job. I even heard you the other day. You didn't say this outright, obviously, Tommy, but when it was brought up, you certainly weren't quick to shoot it down. So I guess that's why I'm asking you right now. Is that something that you think is happening?
No, I don't think that ownership is in a position where they're about to pull the trigger and fire Gerard Mayo.
I didn't say they're going to do it this week, but in the sense of
You said that people above Gerard Mayo have soured on him.
Yes.
Where's that coming from? There's a big difference between Florio saying that Mayo can talk himself out of a job, which would be hyperbolic and speculative. There can be me saying that his messaging has not been good, as I've said many times. He's got to improve that, and that he certainly wasn't ready for the entire thing to be foisted upon him the way it was. But it was a situation that was predicated by what happened last year. But again, where is it coming from that ownership is soured on him?
Well, it would seem that if these are things that could happen in year one, or if these are things that aren't being shot down very quickly by people who would be in the know, that it's on the table, I guess. That's sort of where it is. I'm not making a definitive statement here, but I'm probing the topic.
There's a big difference between a report that ownership is souring on him and the guy's taking on water. How does he fix it? I guess.
Okay.
So to me, he's got to fix his messaging. He's got to have a better understanding of exactly how what he says is going to play in his locker room, play in the media, impact his team, impact the national conversation around the Patriots. And that's why, you know, when I said on my podcast the other day that he wasn't ready, I think that that's a bigger conversation as to, well, why is he the head coach? And that tracks back further to what the expectations were for the Patriots entering last season after 2022 with Bill Belichick and what they ended up deciding had to happen. So they aren't ready. They weren't ready. They were not ready to pull the trigger on Bill, but they also came to a conclusion as the season went along and they were 2-11, that they said, this isn't something we're going to do again. We're not going to give them $150 million of spending in the third overall pick for another rebuild after this one went the way it is. If we're going to win four games and we're not enjoying the experience, we'll win four games with somebody else. It's basically what it boiled down to.
Okay.
So that's why when I say not ready, they didn't have an appreciation for how bad a rebuild year with a first-year head coach, a litany of injuries, first-year coordinators, et cetera, might look.
Okay, fair enough. Doug Kyde in the Herald today said Patriots ownership CEO and Chairman Robert Kraft and President Jonathan Kraft have to decide whether they allow that experience to come organically or if they need to step in at some point and inject more experience into the coaching staff, as a source believes some of the team issues stem from a lack of experience. Now, that's not quite going to whatever where I was before either, but it does sort of seem as though they're looking at the Gerard Mayo experience in year one as something that needs to be fixed much more quickly than maybe I was expecting him to get a lot more leash, I guess, than this. What?
I don't know. I just don't think that that sentence says that. I think that that sentence that you read says, if it continues this way, this will be something that ownership has to consider, as opposed to this being smoking gun evidence that ownership is on the cusp of making a decision on Gerard Mayo's future, whether it be immediately or at the end of the season. So I'm just trying to pin down somewhere between, hey, ownership is souring on Mayo, which I strongly believe to not be the case, and there is a recognition that this is going not that great right now. So there's a big difference there.
Tom, I'm of the belief that the on-the-field action is the least of Gerard Mayo's problems right now, that the record in a
100%.
Weird... So with the culture being questioned, with the pot shots from Mike Lombardi and everybody from afar about, oh, it's so fun there, do you think Gerard is questioning his own philosophies? Because they clearly wanted to change the culture. And Elliot, I'll put him in here because he had the less hard-ass vibes comment that everybody ran with. Do you think those two guys at this point, given everything that's happened off the field, on social media, in interviews, do you think they're questioning the culture and the style with which they began this era?
I would hope that they are. I really would. I don't know if no one has told me directly that, man, we gave these guys too much freedom. I think there is a tendency, and you've seen it over the years, whether it be with Bill or assistant coaches or anybody or players themselves, to look for reasons why that might be ancillary. Mm. And I think if you look at the culture right now and see guys going off half-cocked on social media, complaining about their roles, asking for the ball more, leaving the team in the case of Troops of Cora for acting out and getting into situations with law enforcement, then you're going to say, well, maybe it's all those injuries to all our leaders. Maybe this, that sabbats all teams that are losing. To me, what's interesting is we saw so many Patriots disciples of Bill go elsewhere and try and bring the Patriots culture elsewhere, and it didn't work because players and media were on alert that, oh, he's going to come in here and try and be a dictator. Now you have, in the Patriots organization, they wanted to keep one foot in the past with the tradition and the ethos, but they wanted to move forward to a kinder, gentler, more open and permissive culture. And right here is where it's gone the other direction, where players are acting out and the losses mount and the ability of guys to say, well, if we're just going to be losing anyway, I probably should be out for myself. And that seems to be the issue with KJ Osborne, for instance. Professional guy, veteran guy, he's like, well, I'm getting benched. What do I want to be here for? This sucks. They suck, and I can't even play for them. What does that say about my situation? I'm all set if I leave. Paraphrasing, he didn't say that, but he did say it would be an alley-oop. He did say it would be an alley-oop if he had an opportunity to go elsewhere.
Yes, and that was one of many comments made by wide receivers over the course of this week. We're talking with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. When this relates to Drake May, these are his targets. These are the guy who he's working with each and every week. It seemed as though most of the frustration was coming because Jacoby Brissett couldn't get on the ball. Now they got Drake May out there, and these guys are still popping off like this. Does that start to affect Drake May at some point?
That's something I've been focusing on a lot this week, Christian, is he's out there herding cats now. You can't use Javon Baker and you can't use Tyquan Thornton because neither one is either good enough or understands the offense or where he's supposed to be or how to be a professional player yet. So you can't use either of them. Kayshawn Booty's pretty useful, but he looks in the mirror and sees Marvin Harrison. Meanwhile, Jalen Polk is not that useful, and he's injured, and he looks in the mirror and sees Reggie Wayne. And these guys are 23, 24 years old who have never really dealt with football adversity, having played at LSU and Oregon and been featured guys who everyone told them they were so incredible. There's no one there checking their behavior. And this is, again, it is all intertwined. Wouldn't it be great to have Jacoby Myers here now?
Mm. Yeah.
And I look at that and I say, it's not just Bill and hearkening back to that, because Juju Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker were part of this organization too, and Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh must have had some kind of role there. I mean, everyone plays Mickey the Dunce and says, wasn't us, wasn't him. At some point, it wasn't all Bill. And I look at the decisions made and the culture of that room, and I look at Drake May, who's trying to figure out how to do the most important job in sports and having to deal with this level of chaos. And that's a place where I probably think Alex Van Pelt might be a benefit, because he is fairly even-keeled. He's seen a lot in his time in the league. He's 52 years old. He might be able to be a help to Drake May, and that I've seen this movie before. It happens. We'll be okay.
Tom, along those lines, a guy that I am intrigued by, I don't really know what he does. Gerard has described his role a little bit, but not real deeply. This Ben McAdoo role, and he's a guy that's been a head coach. He's been around Aaron Rodgers. He's been an offensive coordinator for a period of time. He should be one of the more experienced and probably influential advisors to Gerard. What is he doing, and does he need to do more, or is he doing too much? Like, give me something on Ben McAdoo, I guess.
I'll try and find out more. So far, all I know is he's a sounding board, an overseer, a handholder. He's a Johnny on the spot, kind of the way Patricia was. Remember, Patricia came in his first year, trying to lick his wounds from being fired by the Lions. He came in and just kind of whatever we need to do. Contracts, I'll do the contracts. Negotiations, I'll do negotiations. Special teams, I'll go over there. What do you need? I'll do it. And then his role grew in 2022, but I think McAdoo is kind of in that role. I don't know. And what's also interesting is all these guys are foisted upon each other together. Not to say that Mayo didn't get to hire his staff. DeMarcus Covington, Brian Belichick, Pellegrino, all those guys were here. But a lot of these guys come in with "Hello, my name is" tags on their shirts, and they're trying to figure out how everybody works together. What's his job? How is he? Is he a good guy? Is he a guy I can trust? Is he a guy I can work well with? Does he know what he's talking about? So I'd be interested to know what the Ben McAdoo, Alex Van Pelt relationship is like. Whether T.C. McCartney, Ben McAdoo, or Ben McAdoo, Gerard Mayo. I know nothing about that. They've just brought in a lot of hats. And all the hats are sitting there. And now that it's going south, I can't imagine that a lot of the hats are saying, I don't have any idea how to fix it. I'm sure there's a million ideas if we just do this. And that's why it's a very hard spot for an inexperienced head coach to be in, to have a bad roster, a ton of injuries, be a little bit overmatched at the podium right now, and to have players acting out.
Is it unfair for me to ask you because I asked you last week, percent chance that Alex Van Pelt is back as the OC next year. And is it unfair to ask the same question about Gerard Mayo at this point? What are the percent chances he's back next year?
I don't know whether it's fair or unfair. It's being asked enough where I can't really say on that. I would say, hypothetically, it would have to be an unmitigated disaster. And the mutinous aspects that were referred to 3 weeks ago would have to be in play. So we're not even talking wins and losses. We're talking how does it look at the end of the year.
I mean, isn't that what it looks like right now?
Is it not a disaster now?
Yeah.
Right, but the season doesn't end after seven games.
Turnaround, sure. Maybe. All right, well, hey, a turnaround would be nice.
How does it look in November and December?
Yeah.
We've seen teams that look like ass early, and then by the end of the year, they're just cheeks. So maybe they can turn it around to that level.
All right. Well, in that vein, it's time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Who's going to flex this weekend, Tommy?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is a guy I'm curious about seeing his performance, because he absolutely followed up exactly where Geno Smith left off the week before when the Patriots faced the Jets the first time around. He was impossible to stop through the air. He is right now. Aaron Rodgers is feeling badly because he did not have a good game last week, and saying that he's going to reapply his leadership skills. So I'm a little concerned that the flex of the game might come from the intolerable one, Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's probably true, and an unfortunate reality of where this team is right now. But yeah, I think you're right. Although my buddy here, Andy Hart, thinks that the Patriots coming into this game
have the quarterback
advantage. What do you think of that, Tom?
Right now,
I think that feels like, you mean like Thursday at 3:42,
like short window, maybe the last 2 weeks, because that's all you got for Drake May, and Aaron Rodgers hasn't been playing.
Then I'm going to go with you. Then I'm going to concur.
Thank you.
All right.
There you go.
A beacon of hope. A beacon.
Tommy and Andy together again.
66% of the people on this show right now agree that Drake May's better than
Aaron Rodgers. Smart money is us.
There you go. All right, Tommy Curran, thank you very much for your time. NBC Sports Boston, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
All right, that is Tommy Curran right there, denying the idea.
You were setting me up, and you took it on the chin.
Denying the idea that, first of all, Aaron Rodgers is better than Drake May, and that ownership is souring at all on Gerard Mayo.
Hey, you guys had a little tete-a-tete
back and forth there. I was fine with that. I mean, I asked the question a certain way. He had a problem with it, but I thought it was a fair thing to start probing at this point. People absolutely are talking about it. I don't see any problem with that.
No, it's absolutely a talking point. I mean, Bill Belichick.
He denied it. I mean, I got an answer out of him. He said, no, they haven't soured on him.
Bill Belichick said it. He seems like an expert witness,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. Mike Florio, for all his faults, Florio kind of has built a business on these kind of things.
Definitely.
Muckraking and coaches sure getting fired and trades and that kind of area. So, yeah, and there's every reason. The one thing I would question Tommy on is, like, if it's a disaster, he might be out.
If
it's a disaster.
If it continues to be a disaster.
I was going to say, do disasters usually just stop being disasters? Like, hurricanes that are plowing towards Florida just go, where'd it go? It disappeared. It's not on the radar anymore.
I mean, this one kind of did, right? After, like, day two, it was pretty much gone.
Well, yeah, but it kind of did damage.
It did some damage, and there's a lot of damage being done right now. No question about it. 617-779-7937, your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls. And the Netflix show, or documentary, I should say, the three-part special on the 2004 Boston Red Sox has dropped. We'll react to that next.